Noach Topshin Ayin Hey. Here we go. Perek Tet Pasuk Beis Yud Beis. I'm sorry. It says the following. Young Bible kids. Zos Osa Bris Asher Ani Nosim Beinu Veinechem. This is going to be the sign of the covenant that I am making between me and you. They call Nefesh Chaya between all the animals of Shari Tzam that are with you. Ludor is all for all future generations. This is what's going to be over here. As Kashti Nasati Ba'anot, I am going to put my rainbow in the clouds. So I call Os Bris Beinu Veinechem. And it's going to be an Os Bris between me and between the land. It's when I make the clouds upon the ground in the Rasa Kashis Banon. You'll see the rainbow in the clouds. That happens to be somewhat interesting because rainbows don't appear in clouds. Right? They don't. But it is a very good name. So here we go. Strange thing about this pasuk is that it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this rainbow right now for Bnei Yisrael, and that this is going to be the sign for them from now on, that this is going to be it. But how could it be? How is that possible? That after the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created something new? And especially if it's something that fits into our natural world, you know, perfectly, it seems that the rainbow always existed. So it can't be that the rainbow was only created just to be an oath right there at that time, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Noah out of the Teva, and then all of a sudden said, you know what, I'm going to make a rainbow. The rainbow has always existed. It's a prism of light. Now what is a rainbow exactly? It says Wikipedia. Here we go. I'm not going to quote it by page. You know, I'm not like Revathan Feiner who quotes everything by page right on the spot. I'm just going to say in Wikipedia. A rainbow is an optical meteorological phenomenon that is caused by both reflection and refraction of light in water droplets, resulting in a spectrum of light appearing in the sky. It's all because it's going up against, it's so to speak, the sun. The light is going through the droplet, hitting the edge of the droplet, and then appearing in a different way from it. It takes the form of a multicolored arc. Rainbows caused by sunlight always appear in the section of sky directly opposite the sun. Rainbows can be full circles. You ever seen a full circle rainbow? No. Because you have to see it from a plane looking down. You can't see it going up. You can't see it like that.
You see it from like over here? Or all around?
Well, it's a half circle. Right, so you can't see a full circle. Full circle can only be seen when you're in a plane looking down. Oh, then you're fine. However, the average observer only sees an arc formed by illuminated droplets above the ground and centered on a line from the sun to the observer's eye. In a primary rainbow, this is the regular rainbows that we're going to be talking about, the arc shows red on the outer part and violet on the inner side, right? Going through the seven colors that are there. This rainbow is caused by light being refracted, bent when entering a droplet of water, then reflected inside on the back of the droplet and refracted again when leaving it. Now, in a double rainbow, a second arc is seen outside the primary arc. Has the order of its colors reversed? Red facing toward the other one in both rainbows. This second rainbow is caused by light reflecting twice inside water droplets, where you see it happening twice altogether. Now, here we go. There are other types of rainbows. There's crazy rainbows out there, but these are the most common that people see. Now, here's what we're going to say. The Ibn Ezra definitely says that the rainbow started only at this moment, meaning it did not exist beforehand. This is the first time the rainbow was up there. He says that it's possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu strengthened the sun's power after the Mabul, so that its refracted light would do something that it was never able to do before, which is to cause prisms to form through raindrops. It's possible it never happened before. There really was no rainbow. It's just that the sun wasn't strong enough to do so. But now all of a sudden, after the Mabul, that's what ended up happening. That's the Ibn Ezra's answer. That's his answer. Now, the Ramban agrees that it definitely sounds that way, that the rainbow was created right now, and it's a brand new Bria. But the word Nosati, as Kashi Nosati, the Anan, I put into the Anan, sounds more like it happened as in the old times, and it's only being used, right, to see as a sign itself. Rav Hirsch says, you can compare it to Kiddush HaKodesh. Most of it was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here's the new moon. It wasn't the first time there was a new moon. It wasn't the first time that the moon waxed and waned. It's the first time that Hashem showed him that the new moon is going to do something for you and create new lunar months for you. But certainly the lunar months always existed. Certainly, he says, the rainbow always existed. That's the idea behind it, says Rav Hirsch, and that's what he's saying based on the Ramban. The Sforno argues the Ibn Ezra as well. The Sforno also says
that existed in a verse before Noah.
Yeah, that's basically what Ramban is trying to say. But the Ibn Ezra does not say that. The Ibn Ezra does not say that. Because Sforno argues, he says, it's interesting, it may be that the primary rainbow, meaning the primary rainbow, which is the regular one that you see through refracted light, that's the one that existed before Noah. But the rainbow that we're talking about over here, the rainbow that we're saying is a sign from God that nothing bad will ever happen to us, that's the secondary rainbow. The other rainbow that's on top, the one where the colors are reversed, Sforno says, that can't be explained away by science. I don't know why it can't be. It it seems that it can be, but regardless, saying that that's the one that's used as an oath for tzaddikim, that they should daven and teach the Rishayim what to do over there. Now,
how's it a regular rainbow?
It's the regular rainbow like that. On top of it, you see a second rainbow, and it's reverse colors. The exact reverse opposite. Yeah. You see a red, you can see it. It depends on how the light is being refracted. But it can show it in someone out there. Now, that it seems as a weird thing. He says cryptically that the rainbow is shown on its own without any clouds, seemingly without rain. That the very first rainbow that appeared for Noah was one without any rain at all, meaning normally you need water droplets for the rainbow to appear. Noah was shown a rainbow without rain, without clouds, and that's the one that he says, I'm going to do this sometimes. There's going to be a random rainbow in the sky that has nothing to do with the rain, and that's what's going to be, that's the miraculous one that was there. But the regular rainbow that appears after rain, that appeared even before the model. That was then even that. That's what it is. And the Abarbanel says the following. Now the Abarbanel says something crazy. The rainbow always existed. It always was there, but you couldn't see it before the model. It was impossible to see. Well, why was it impossible to see? Originally, rain was not the only way for the fields to be watered. Originally, there was mist. There was fog that was coming up from the ground. I don't know if anybody's driven through Pennsylvania at night and you got to sunrise. You ever been through Pennsylvania? Sunrise, right by sunrise. Can't see anything. Why? Because there's all this mist that comes up. Now, I don't know if it's all year long, but the two times that I went through Pennsylvania and I hit there around sunrise time, both times, there's like a mist that's right around there, and it's just a fog that comes up. See, according to the Abarbanel, that's the way the whole world worked before the model. There was rain, but the main source of water that watered the ground before the model was mist that came up from the ground itself. They rose up from the ground, and therefore, like this, the mist went up to the point where you couldn't see the rain falling or anything being watered. You couldn't see any of that happening. Meaning, you couldn't see any of the light being refracted against the raindrops. I'm sorry, we're in the middle of share right now. So, you couldn't see any of those lights going. No longer could those mists be there. There was just a ton of water in the sky, right, in which you couldn't see anything. You couldn't see any rainbows. You couldn't see anything going through. So, the rainbow only appeared later on when the atmosphere was cleared after the marble. When the atmosphere was cleared, there were no clouds left that were coming up from the mist and the fog that was coming up from the ground. When it's only rain, now we can see the rainbows. But back then, you didn't have a clear vision of the sky after a rainfall. All you could see was fog and mist. And really, it reminds me of Pennsylvania early in the morning. That's what it would remind me of. I mean, there are certain other places, like it doesn't have to be Pennsylvania. I just, because of all the forests around, I think that's what it would be. Yeah, like in a camp or something like that. The problem with all these answers and everything we just gave over here and everything that they say is a simple gemara in Ksuvas Ayin Zayin Mabez. Ksuvas Ayin Zayin Mabez says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi got into a discussion. This is what happened. Remember, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it was friends with the Malachim Avos, asked the Malachim Avos to show him his spot in Gan Eden before he died. He went up to that spot in Gan Eden, kicked back, like literally kicked at the Malachim Avos, jumped into Gan Eden, right? And went into Gan Eden, was walking around. And that's the whole thing, was he able to get out, etc. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's not going to leave. Okay. Rabbi Shua ben Levi was then asked by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, are you really the son of Levi, our friend Levi? Yeshua ben Levi said, yes, I'm the son of Levi. My name is Rabbi Yeshua. I'm sure he said Yeshua. Either way, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was there. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, did a rainbow ever appear during your lifetime? To which Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, no. Yes. That's the point. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, yes, a rainbow appeared in my lifetime. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, if a rainbow appeared during your lifetime, you're not Levi's son. You're not so kosher. Because in my times, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is saying, there was no rainbow that ever appeared in the sky. Never. But hold on. How was that possible? First of all, the gracious Rabbi.
I have a question. Yeah. If he was in the basement all day, he wouldn't see outside.
Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Shimon Bar Yochai? Probably was standing outside quite a bit. You remember that? He did. They didn't.
There was much underground. He went out for cigarettes.
Different words. Not cigarettes.
Was it
in the world. It was different. Gracious Rabbi Lamech Hei Beis says, during the days of Chizkiyahu as well, wasn't just during the days of Shimon Bar Yochai. In the days of Chizkiyahu, there were no rainbows. Rainbows did not appear according to the Medrash. So, and we even learn out from the Pasuk. It says, Lidolos Olam over here. It's going to be for the future generations in Pasuk Yibbeis. It's written without Vavs. There are no Vavs in the Pasuk. It's written Lamed Dalid Reish Sof. Because there are some generations where the rainbow's not going to appear. You're not going to need the rainbow. It's going to be perfectly fine. So it's very hard to understand. How in the world did you lose a rainbow? And isn't that a bad thing? The rainbow is a sign that a Kaddish Baruch Hu won't destroy the world. Losing the rainbow seems to mean that Hashem is going to destroy the world. in a way, but we have to understand, like, what exactly are we trying to learn from this? It says the Kliyakar. Your understanding of the Gemara completely wrong. That's how the Kliyakar learns it. It's not that the rainbow didn't appear. It's that people didn't look for it. They never saw the rainbow. Because in normal generations, when people are sinning, and it seems like the world's going to be destroyed, people are always worried that the world's going to be destroyed. So what would they do? They'd look up to the sky, they'd see the rainbow, and they'd be assured, oh, phew, we're not going to be destroyed. The rainbow's here, nothing's going to happen to us. In the days of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, they were never worried about what was happening up in the sky, never worried about the rainbow being there, because they knew in the schus of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, in the schus of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, in the schus of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, who, by the way, the Gemara says that he was lying. The rainbow didn't appear during his time, and he was trying to say it to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in order to not attract attention to himself. During those three times, nobody looked up to see the rainbow. Had they looked up, they would have seen a rainbow, because naturally a rainbow is going to appear. But the point is that by their time, he didn't need to. They didn't look up, and therefore they said, during my time, said Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, nobody saw a rainbow. Nobody needed to look up whatsoever, so they didn't see anything whatsoever. That's what Rashi means in Pasuk Yedalad. It says, Ba'anani Anon, when I bring down my clouds, when I want to bring darkness and destruction to the world, that's when there's going to be a rainbow. It's not that the rainbow won't appear otherwise. It's that when I want to bring destruction, then you'll see the rainbow and you'll know I won't destroy the world. But when you don't think there's going to be destruction, like by the time of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, then don't worry. It happens to be, historically speaking, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai lived at the end of an era. Right before Rav Shimon Bar Yochai became a gavel, meanwhile he's still a Talmud, Hadrian was in the midst of killing all the great Rabbanim. We all know Rabbi Akiva, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's Rebbe, was killed, right, one of the last, if not the last, of the Asar Rugi Malchus by having his flesh combed off. Earlier, Rabbi Yeshua had died by the times of Hadrian. Earlier, there had been nine other of the Asar Rugi Malchus that were killed. There were people that died one after the other, great Gedolim, before Rav Shimon Bar Yochai became the Gadol. When Rav Shimon Bar Yochai became a Gadol, Hadrian had already committed suicide, and it was the most peaceful time that the Jews had for over 100 years. They were able to be in a different state. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's time happened to have been one of the best times that the Jews had ever had under the power of the Romans. At that point, there were other people that were coming in charge, and they were taking charge of that in that time. But whatever it was, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was there at that time. This is halacha. That's why we don't stare at a rainbow. The Gemara in Sinus 10:9 says you shouldn't stare at a rainbow, and if you do, your eyes are weakened. The pshat is you shouldn't do things to cause you to look up at the rainbow and say, oh good, we're not going to die. Don't do things that make you have to stare at the rainbow, because the rainbow is a sign that you should be destroyed, but I'm not going to. Don't bother looking up. Don't have that thought in your head, oh no, what's going to be with us? Just be good and everything should be fine. The Tzarek Yonah's Rav Yonah's Night should say something. It takes this Kliyakar to another level. He says the whole climate of the world changed after the novel. That everything was different. The whole world was different. It's similar to what Dalbar Benel said, that the Edom, that these mists were forming from the ground. Somehow, the world was so completely different that there was no such thing as a rainbow back then. There were no systems of rainbow. He explains it all the way through, but it's a long Rav Yonah Sinaitchitz, and we're not going to go into it because I don't really quite get what he's saying. But he said that really evaporation is a new thing. The evaporation, the whole process of evaporation, only happened after the Mabul, did not necessarily exist before, and that's Rav Yonah Sinaitchitz's little way over there. Now, we got into this issue of how the rainbow didn't appear. I have a couple other answers over here. Parties Yosef says that these tzaddikim had special ashkacha process that superseded nature, and Hashem was telling them there's nothing to worry about. Normally, naturally, there should be a rainbow. By your time, I'm going to make sure there isn't. Because I want you to know that I care about you. And I'm taking care of you, there won't be a rainbow. That's the way the Parties Yosef says it. Shlaka, there, says a grape shot. He says, what happens if you do the right thing? Bahaya, you shamoa tishmu'u mitzosai. Right, from Shema. Right? Asher nochim mitzvah kama yom. V'nasati yishmechem bito. Yorel malkish. I'm going to give you rain in its proper time. Anybody remember the Rashi? When is the proper time for rain to fall?
Asher, oh.
Two times. The proper time for rain to fall.
Right.
It's on Friday night and on Tuesday night. Lel Revi and Lel Shvi and Lel Shabbos. Listen to this. Says the Shlach Kadosh, that's why they didn't see a rainbow. In the times of Shimba Yochai, the rain came in the proper time, which was only at night. But at night, there's no rainbows. There's no sun to cause a rainbow. It never rained during the day, during the times of Shimba Yochai. And then he brings down the Shlach HaKadosh, brings down a Medrash, says exactly that. In the days of Shimba Yochai, it always rained at night on Tuesday night and Friday night. That's the only time that it rained, and therefore there were no rainbows. Right. You couldn't have rainbows. There was no rain.
In the morning?
What?
You didn't have rain.
In the morning would have been when the rain had already stopped. So they wouldn't be able to see the rainbow when the morning came because it was already gone. The rain was already gone. Everything was gone by then. It's a crazy pshat. But if you have it in the right way, if everything goes well, then you shouldn't have to worry about it whatsoever. Now, the Yaros Devash of Yonas Mabshis, again, in his Drush, Chelek al Drush Beis, says from the Zohar, there are two different types of rainbows, one being natural, one being supernatural. Reb Shimon knew that the natural rainbow appeared during Rabbi Shua ben Levi's time, but he said to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, did the supernatural one appear at his time? And Rabbi Shua said, yes, meaning the natural one appeared at his time. The natural one appeared, but the supernatural one didn't. Rav Shimba Yochai misunderstood and said, oh, you're saying that the supernatural one appeared? Ah, then you're not a great tzaddik. You're not so great because you needed the rainbow in order for the world to not be destroyed. You should have been a... But Rabbi Shimon misunderstood the answer. He misunderstood the answer of Shimon ben Levi. Similar answer is brought by Rabbi Pardes Yosef from Chagiga Yudal and Rebez. It says, I forgot who it was. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai heard a drush from his Talmud about Maisim Merkava. And then two other Talmud, Rabbi Yosef Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon ben Etan, all standing together. And they said, well, if he can do it, then we can do it. So they darshaned Maisim Merkava, and a fire surrounded them, lightning and thunder came down from the heavens, and a rainbow appeared in the sky. A rainbow. So what's just? A rainbow must be a good thing. So it says, from the Pardes Yosef, it says, it must be that there's a good rainbow. A good type of rainbow. There's the bad rainbow, the one that shows that God wants to destroy the world, and there's a good rainbow. And that's what Rabbi Shimon was asking him. Did the good rainbow appear during your time? That was the idea behind it. So either way, that's that. As a side note, by the way, the Chidah wonders if the rainbow appeared everywhere else in the world. Right? If the rainbow, did the rainbow appear everywhere else in the world, like Babel, when Rabbi Shimon Bar-Yochai was in Eretz Yisrael? Did the rainbow not appear anywhere in the world, or did it only not appear where Rav Shimon Bar Yochai lived? Mm-hmm. The people around Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the people in China, when Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was alive, did they see a rainbow? Was there no rainbow during that time? That's his question. That was the kash over there. That's the Chidah's question at the end. We don't have an answer to that. Now, the bow we know, the rainbow, faces the wrong way. If you're shooting an arrow at somebody, right, then obviously you have the bow this way, right, where the bow is facing the other person. You pull it back, right, with the string over there, and you shoot the arrow, right? But the bow instead is facing up instead of down. It's like this. So it's as if we're shooting up at God and not God shooting down at us. Says the Ramban, Shamayim does not want to destroy us. He may be angry with us, but he never wants to destroy us. There's no arrows. You can't see an arrow anywhere. There's no strings. It's just a bow facing backward. You know what that is? This is a sign when a soldier is at war and he wants to show everybody that I don't want to fight anymore. He turns the bow around and shows as if I'm done. I'm at peace now. That's what you do. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to us. I'm at peace now. I'm not going to destroy you. I'm not going to do anything whatsoever. That's the idea. The Chidah says it's the opposite of people. We use the bow and arrow to show that we're at war. God uses it for peace. Yeah, what are you going to say?
So because you're going up, you're going like you're shooting
us. Yeah, it's not us doing bad and not the other way around. The Chizkuni then goes on and explains why the rainbow is comprised of many colors. Why is it comprised of all the beautiful colors? If you only get from red all the way until, I think it was, the last one is indigo? Is it that? Is it purple? I don't remember. Here's a way of remembering it. It's red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, purple, or violet. Violet, that's it.
Violet!
Right. No, not from there. But either way, the Chizkuni explains that it's like this. The colors of the rainbow is the color, so to speak, kaviyachol, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yechezkel writes in the Maisim Merkava, in the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's a picture of a keshes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears as a rainbow in front of everybody. It's like absolute beauty. He says, I'm not going to show you what I look like. Meaning he's not going to show it's a rainbow if I wanted to destroy you. The king only shows his face to his servants if they're worthy of seeing his face. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he says, it's not just to destroy us. The Chizkuni says he's purposely putting down that beauty to show Klal Yisrael, to show everyone in the world, look, You're still beautiful to me. You're still beautiful to me. That's the idea behind it, of why the colors are supposed to be so beautiful to show what's going to be over there. It's possible that that keshes of the Gemir Kava, that's the keshes that was created during Sheshes and Mevarishes. Says Rav Schwab, the regular rainbow is natural, but there's a special rainbow that Hashem shows as his Meisim Merkava, and that's the idea behind it. Now, I always understood the beauty of the rainbow to be the beauty of the potential of the world. I always thought of it like that, and that's how I've always learned it. The return of innocence, so to speak, and that's the idea behind it. That anybody who looks up the rainbow, I remember being in New York once, and somebody called out to me and said, oh, you got to go outside, look at the rainbow outside. And there was this massive rainbow, because Chicago doesn't get those, we don't need them, but New York does. So they get this massive rainbow, and you saw it, it was like this huge rainbow in the sky. Now, not allowed upstairs, you have to make a bracha. Right, bracha tasham looking at home, zilch, rabri, it's number of reason of a kind of mamaro. You got to make that bracha, but you're not allowed to stare at it. You can look at it quickly and look around, but there's no one that's not impressed by that beauty. And the shot, I think, is that a person should realize that you can start over. Just like rain washes away all the garbage, you can do tshuva and make yourself a prism of colors. That's how I always understood the rainbow to be after it goes through. Yes, I'm sorry? Why? Gemara says, the Gemara kind of Tazayin that says, you're not allowed to stare at three things. One of them is famous, Berachas Kohanim. You're not allowed to look at the Kohanim when they have their hands up, right, by the base of Mikdash. Technically, you can look at the Kohanim when they're doing regular Berachas Kohanim, when they're going like that, but you can't do it when they go like that. And that's what it was like in the base of Mikdash. It wasn't like this in the base of Mikdash, it was like that. That the Shekhinah came down through the lattices, and that was the lattices that were up there, so to speak, as if Hashem is going through them. Here we go like that, it's a different minig to make it different from the base of Mikdash. But you're not allowed to look at the Kohanim hands. That's one. Number two is looking at the rainbow. Number three, I always forget. The full moon is true, but that's because it's cursed. I've got what it is. It's tiny test dying, so we'd have to look it up. But those are the three things where it says you're not supposed to stare at it. Not supposed to stare at it. The Ramban Benochaya say a whole sod over here, a secret behind it, something that's more Kabbalistic. I don't quite get it, and I'll tell you. It has to do with Midas Adin, and that Midas Adin that's harsh is referring to the Keshes, is the Midas Adin up in Shemayim, and that if you look at the Keshes, you're asking God to punish you for what you've done wrong. It's a really weird Ramban. Rabbeinu Bachai, I'll tell you honestly, I don't quite get it, but you can look at it over there. He brings down Al Derech Hasod. Now, Rabbi Victor Miller asks a brilliant question. Says Balan, Kodesh Baruch Hu brought down this thing, and he says, "I lo ya'od amayin l'mabel l'shachis kol baser. I'm going to make this rainbow over here, so you should know there will never be a mabel ever again." Says Rabbi Victor Miller, "Hold on a second. If we deserve to have a mabel, and that's the best thing for us, then make the mabel." Meaning, what's Hashem saying? If he didn't have to bring a mabul, he wouldn't have brought it the first time. If he has to bring a mabul, then why won't he do it now? Why is that better? Why is that Kodesh Baruch Hu saying? Either the punishment is befitting the crime, and you need to destroy the world, and you need it, or it never was, which means you never should have done it in the first place. So to speak, and I don't mean to say it this way, but Rav Victor Miller is really asking, what is Kodesh Baruch Hu just like, oh, that was such a bad move. Shouldn't have done that. Of course that Kodesh Baruch Hu needed that to happen, so if it needs to happen, do it again. How can you promise me that that's not going to happen? And it seems like this. Shem is saying that this period was unique. You have to understand something. The world before the Mabul will never exist again. People lived to crazy ages. 600, 700, 800, 900 years. Hanukkah was 365. And like, oh man, he died as a baby. Right? I mean, it's just, they didn't live to crazy ages, crazy years, the amount of years that they had. The weather seemed to have been perfect. Where Victor Miller says that the whole world was a different world back then. There were no polar ice caps. Everything was warm. Everything was beautiful. The weather was uniform, possibly throughout the entire earth. It could have been that the whole world was a totally different world in which literally you were living in perfect weather, like San Diego weather, all day long, every single day. You don't mind San Diego weather? Too dry?
Yeah.
It's not humid. Very dry, because it's off the desert. But it's really not.
Maybe you got the weather. You
every day. You got the weather. No, it's not like that. There was a uniform weather that went all the way over there. The opportunities that were afforded to them, perfect weather, harmonious nature. This is the beginning of nature. All of nature worked together harmoniously, and there was no such thing as a carnivore. All animals and people got enough out of the plants that they were eating that they no longer needed protein from meat. Even the carnivores were eating plants. It's one of the rayas that the lion, the tiger, etc. were able to survive in the Mabul. What did they bring? They brought meat. onto the table? No, they brought plants. It says straight out, they brought plants on the table. He said, how did the lion have enough? So Rechaim Kanievsky talks about this a little bit. But it seems to be obvious. Before the Mabul, it seems all animals seem to eat plants and were okay with it. Maybe once in a while the carnivores would have a little bit of meat to be able to supplement their diet. But normally they would only have plants. Every animal was okay with plants. And I know that seems strange that the carnivores wouldn't have had sharp teeth. How could they have sharp teeth if they have to eat plants? All herbivores, anything that eats plants, has molars like what we have. They don't have canines like we would have. And all dogs, cats, carnivores, they all have those canines. They wouldn't have had canines. They all would have had ground down teeth from the amount of plants that they were eating. I don't know. And maybe they did eat meat once in a while, but the point was that they didn't have to subsist on meat. The plants had enough protein in them that they could survive without having any meat whatsoever. They could have done that. That will never be available to us. That world.
That's a nubby system, the lion aligned with the lamb.
That's what it was before. Yeah. That's what it was before the hate. For sure, possibly even before the mobble. That's the idea of what it's supposed to be. I don't know what the wildcat's teeth are going to be like, Lusad Lovo. Are they going to go from being these, you know, sharp teeth into, like,
molars? I don't know if they were the same.
Molars?
What we have today is the same as back then. There could have been, like, the
saber-toothed tigers. Okay, but either way, you had some saber-toothed tigers.
It could have been something before that, even, that was, like, the father of all of them.
Maybe. But yeah, probably. Again, yeah, we don't know. We have absolutely no idea. It's just possible that it's going to be over here. Either regardless, therefore, what ended up being is a flood would no longer be needed to destroy them. In other words, there's no longer going to be a world that was so perfect that we're blamed for not treating it properly. There's never going to be a world like that. Our world is filled with pain. Our world has short lives where we're always thinking about death. I was just thinking about the other day. I was talking about it when I was learning Shari Tshuva. Sitting about that, sitting there, and I was saying, the normal man's life is 70 years. That's what a normal man lives up to, right? In Bikuros Shmonim Shana. In strength, you live to 80 altogether. That means I'm halfway to death. I'm 35 already. Because I'm halfway to death. I'm already toward the years of my death. Now, hopefully I live to 120, but Governor Ola says he lives to 70 or 80. That means I'm halfway there. Our lives are so short, we don't have time to not think about death. Our lives are filled with poverty, illness, epidemics, storms, things like that. We don't Ebola. Ebola is the worst. People are so filled with pain and suffering and everything. That's not the way the world was. The world before the Bible was not that way. There would be no need in the future of a flood. Their lives would be trauma enough for them to stop from sinning. They wouldn't need the don't sin or you're going to have a flood. You don't need it. This would be enough. And that's the idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now wants us to know this. You're not going to have a flood for two reasons. Says Rav Yigdal Miller. Number one, to thank him. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for not giving us a flood and not wanting to give us a flood. We have to constantly thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that fact, and that's the bracha that we make on the rainbow. And number two, if we didn't know this, if we didn't know that Hashem promised not to do it again, and we subsequently sinned as nations, then people would think that the first flood was just an accident of nature. It wasn't retribution. It was an act of nature. It was just a crazy act of nature. Now we know that it truly was an act of God to punish the wicked, and that we should possibly get that flood, but we're not going to have it. Right? But that's the idea behind what it's supposed to be, and that's that. We're going to end with one board from the Nesivis. The Nesivis, his name was Yaakov ben Yaakov ben Lisa. Yaakov bar Yaakov. His father passed away before he was born, and he was named for his father. So he's Yaakov bar Yaakov ben Lisa. He wrote a sefer called Emes Liakov. That's not to be confused with the Emes Liakov written by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Is a separate sefer, a different sefer, Emes Liakov. He says on Brachos Nun Tesim Abayz, he says the following. The Anan mentioned over here, that the Keshes is going to be in the Anan, is a blockage. There's something that disconnects us from God. It's as if to say there's like a wall, that when there's a Anan in the sky, we can't daven, so to speak. It's getting blocked. It's a screen blocking us from having a relationship with Him. We want the sun to break through. The best thing would be for a sun to be able to break through so we can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, so to speak, the sun representing Hashem. We want to see that idea of, and if the sun were strong enough to break through, that would be the best. But if you can't, at least you have a rainbow. You'll still have the rainbow poking through the clouds, allowing you to show that Hashem still cares about us. So Rav Shimon bar Yochai asked Rav Yeshua ben Levi, during your time, did the sun poke itself through the clouds so you didn't need a rainbow? Did you have the sun breaking its way through so you had direct hashkacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or did you need a rainbow that there were still clouds, but there was a little bit of hashkacha poking through? There's a little bit of God showing His face in there. So what was it? Was it a sun or was it a rainbow? to attribute Shulvan Levy said. Shulvan Levy said, I saw a rainbow. Now he was blind. He never saw a rainbow. It was always the sun. But he wanted Rav Shimon bar Yochai to know, right, that he wasn't as great as, you know, he didn't want him to think that I'm that great, etc. But that's the idea behind it. The rainbow being shown to us is Hashem telling us, yeah, your tefillos are being blocked, but don't worry, you'll get a little bit. Don't worry, you'll get a little bit. That's the idea. That's what the rainbow represents. The sun breaking through is the best. That's the idea behind it. What are you going to say?
Someone's colorblind, can they see the rainbow?
No, I don't think so. They see differences in like shades, but they don't see the actual colors.
What?
Yeah.
It's a different
vision. Yeah. It's like,
I
like when you watching a black and white.
I just work with my baby. We daven all year, particularly in the winter.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So we're asking for rain, so how can the best things be just sunny?
No, it's not just the sun. There are going to be clouds, but the sun's going to poke its way through. So even when there's rain, there will still be sun showing itself through, so to speak, like a sun shower. There will be rain together with the sun. That'll be the idea behind it. Not like LA rain, where like it rains and it's just like acidic rain that's coming down on us. No, it's going to be real rain together with the sun. Man, I'm blasting other cities today.